Well, good evening. Thank you. I've got to correct one thing. I have five grandchildren. Yeah. So God is good, and it's a blessing. I'm a much better grandfather than I was as a father. Yeah, it's a whole lot easier. So pray for the family, though. Appreciate it. So I saw most of you were here this morning. There must be something wrong with you because you came back. But those of you that weren't here this morning, hang on. If you're not used to me. Reasons for Hope is the name of the ministry, and I tell everybody there's lots of reasons for hope. But there's only one that will never leave you and forsake you. That's why you'll always see an asterisk after the name, Reasons for Hope, for us, because the asterisk leads to the answer, and his name is Jesus. And so that's what we're about. We're trying to put the focus on Jesus in every area of our life. So thank you for your prayers. Tonight is kind of a fun talk. Now, I'm going to spring something on our sound gentlemen. Can we get a wireless mic? Not for me. But if we have a wireless mic, can I have a young person that's got legs and energy that will volunteer for me tonight? Because I need somebody that's going to kind of like go to people when we raise hands. Because this is tonight going to be interactive, okay? So I got one right there. I saw the first hand going up. One thing for you. If you guys have a chance, July 9 to 13, come dig dinosaur bones with me. I know, short notice. But I had a youth group cancel on me, so I've actually got 10 slots open for Glendive, Montana, July 9 to 13, to dig dinosaur bones. I told you, I like taking people out in the real world. I want you to see what's going on in the real world, all right? And does our faith actually apply to this? And so when somebody tells me, well, dinosaurs, they prove millions of years. Fossils prove millions of years. Come dig dinosaur bones with me. Because I'm telling you, when you get out in the dirt and you see what they actually do show, screams that God did what he said that he did, the way that he said that he did it. Let me show you just a short. I've got a video out there where I know not everybody can come over and go to Glendive with me, so we went out and we filmed it, and we turned it into a TV show. We've pitched it to a couple of Christian stations like TBN, and there's some interest right now. In full disclosure, they want to do it, but they want a younger host. They don't want me as the host. So I'm cool with that, to be honest with you, because it's not about me. It's about getting to a generation and showing that the world that we see is consistent with the word that we read. And so this is what we did on the first one, though. And so pray for that whole project because, again, it's not about me, man. It's about getting a message out and glorifying Jesus. So, but this is what this is kind of give you an idea of the quality of the first one. Think about the amazing beauty and complexity that we see in the world around us. How is it that so many people can understand these things so differently when we're all looking at the same evidence? I've always thought that when we're asked a question, we should question the question. What are we doing now?
Well, we're going to see about checking out some dinosaur bones. I'd like to have you do some digging on this.
No way.
A screwdriver?
Where's my big old hammer?
No.
We are constantly being bombarded by the perspective of the world. You might be wondering, what is a worldview? Who or what is impacting your worldview?
It's starting to petrify. This is all stone right here. So this is still real, live, it would burn type wood.
Wow. I can hear some of you laughing, but think about this. If there is no God, then that is the only alternative. This is amazing, man. I can't wait to get inside.
This
so pray for us.
The T-Rex, we do
it's got to be interesting to see what happens with that. We're going to go in this room here. I'm going to show you some things on the table, all right? I want to see how observant you guys are, just to see how observant you are. So let's take a close-up look at some of these things. What is this? It's a what? Are you sure? Do they still make those things? Because I got to tell you, it would last like 3 seconds in my house. Flip, flip, throw, all right? The only way you're getting all those colors together on one side with me is magic marker and or peel and strip, okay? Peel and put them on. So that's a Rubik's Cube. Look closely, because things may not be as they seem. So it's not a Rubik's Cube. It's a picture of a Rubik's Cube. Now, let me see. See how observant you are. Is this real or is this fake? Who says real? Who says fake? Who's not going to answer? How many times I? Doesn't matter. Okay. Well, if you look very closely, you will in fact find out that it is fake. A lot of your hands went up for real. Okay, one more. Let me see. Let's see if you guys can get this one. The tennis shoe. Look close. Let's get right down to it so you can see if there's any, you know, any little imperfections or anything. Who says it's real? Who says it's fake? Who's not going to answer again? You are answering by raising your hand. You know that, okay? Well, I got most of you again because guess what? This is, in fact, not real. Why would I do this for you? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, hopefully to get you thinking. Number two, because I want you to be aware that things can look really good and not be so. And so we have to look beyond the veneer. We have to look carefully at the messages that are coming at us. So tonight is not going to be just a lecture. This is going to be give and take. This is going to be talking and back and forth because I call this, is the Bible biblical? Is History Channel's, you know, we're going to critically evaluate History Channel's hit TV show, okay? So how many of you have seen some of the History Channel's hit TV show? So a lot of you have seen it, all right? In full disclosure, I made it to Sodom and Gomorrah. I couldn't watch anymore after Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you had the ninja angels in there, and the ninja angels were killing everybody, man. It's like, you know, so the Bible says that God sent like the fire and the brimstone and all that stuff. And I'm like, why did he need the fire and brimstone? If you gave those ninja angels like 10 more minutes, they'd have taken the whole city out, okay? And so it lost me. I'm just being honest with you. It lost me after that. So I quit watching it. Now, for tonight's purposes, I don't want to be, I'm going to mock and ridicule and tell you how bad they are. I just believe that it's very important that we apply our faith in the real world. We watch these things, and unfortunately, in our world today, we have a generation that is biblically illiterate. This is reality. They're biblically illiterate. The only Bible that they know is what they see on TV and movies, okay? And so, therefore, I think it's important that what we do is teach a generation to take the messages that we're being given and critically evaluate and see if they're in there. By the way, that's what God commands us to do, is it not? Acts 17:11, he commands us to be Bereans, to take what is being taught and take it to the scripture to see if it's lining up with fact or truth or not. That's our whole goal. Doesn't matter what I think, you think, anybody thinks. We shouldn't be asking people that. What do you think? Doesn't matter. It matters what God said on the topic. And if my opinion doesn't line up with God's word, then the problem is not with God's word. The problem is with my opinion. All right? So the desire tonight is to not mock, not to ridicule, but it's to attempt to use the scripture as the foundation of our thinking and to critique what we watch. I think this is a pattern that parent and grandparent, you can do this with your child. When I got saved in May 15, 1987. 1989 was the first time that anybody ever told me that I could trust the Bible, that it was real, okay? Honestly, that was the first time I'd ever heard that. I grew up in a system. I knew when to stand up. I knew when to sit down. I knew when to kneel. And I knew when the offering plate was coming. I sat in church pews my whole life, but until 26, I would have been going to hell if I'd have died because I sat in pews, but I didn't know Christ. I knew stand up, sit down, kneel, but I didn't know Christ, okay? And so I want to teach a generation to think. My children, after I got saved, it was very hard on them because Dad did some big changing. And one of the big changes was, I love doing this with my son. My son and I, he's got his own ministry, but we do joint family apologetic conferences sometimes. And we do this talk together. And I let him do the lead. And he's like, you are about to experience my childhood. And it's the truth. That's what we do. We put this pattern that we're going to go watch something, but then we are going to critically evaluate it. We're going to talk about it. And if we don't talk when we're done watching, then we don't watch. It took about 6 months. But after 6 months, the kids started catching things that I didn't. It was like pulling teeth at first to get them engaged. But then after 6 months, this was just the way that it was. And they were catching stuff that I didn't catch. I was like, this is so cool. My son now has his own apologetic ministry. It's a great ministry. He deals more with the video games and those types of things. I'm not a gamer, okay? I can do flip, flip, drop. That's it. But he goes into all those other things. And by the way, parents, grandparents, do you know how God, Jesus Christ, Bible is depicted in the top-selling video games? Not very good. Not very good. And we wonder why a generation doesn't like Christianity. Well, they've seen us on Family Guy, Simpsons, Desperate Housewives, Law and Order, and then in the video games. And trust me, the God, Bible, Christian that's depicted there is not good. So you better be aware of it. But that's a different talk. We won't go there. They were very kind in this program. They told us at the very beginning, this program is an adaptation of Bible stories. First of all, these are not Bible stories. May I challenge you on that, please? These are not Bible stories. These are historical accounts. This is from the only one who's always been there, who knows everything, who told us what happened. As soon as I see this Bible story thing, little yellow flags pop up on me because I am then giving to the children, oh, this is just a storybook. This is not a storybook. You want to read a storybook? Pick up a biology textbook. That's a storybook. These are historical accounts. Somebody who saw what happened, laid them down. Then I take this and I go to the world that I live in, and what I see in the world, is it consistent with this or not? I say that it is. That's why I talk about so many things that I talk about. So it endeavors to stay true to the spirit of the book. So what have you ever gone recently or even not recently and watched a TV show or movie that said based on a true story? Anybody? Anybody? Read a book based on a true story? Anybody? Anybody? One thing I can tell you, whenever you watch or read something like that, it's not true. Whatever you're about to watch or read isn't true. When they tell you it's based on a true story, it's not true. So be careful, all right? So microphone, we got one handy. We need to be able to take it around the audience. There's one up here. Am I missing? Oh, this one right here. No? Yeah. This one here? Beautiful. Thank you. Mr. Cody, you're a man. Guys, you know how lucky you are to have this guy? He is a super talented guy. I mean that. I watch him play the drums every time I come in the evening service, and then I hear he's helped building this stage. Guys, this is beautiful. You guys have done a great job on this. And so, Mr. Cody and who was it? Huh? Corey. Dude, I blew your name. Pastor Chris and who was it? Austin? Pastor Austin? You got some gems, guys. Treat them right. So here we go. Watch. Yes, give them some love. So let's watch, and then we're going to talk. And whoever my runner is, come on up. Okay, who caught something? Who caught something? Hands, give me some hands. Who caught something? We got one right over here, sir. Right over here. Raise your hand up big so we can see.
Oh, the animals are supposed to be sleeping.
What was that?
The animals are supposed to be sleeping.
The animals in the boat weren't sleeping. Does the Bible, can somebody give me a Bible verse that says that the animals were sleeping in the boat? Please, somebody give me a verse. Give me a verse. All right. Next. Next. What else did you catch? Sir? What else did you catch? What else did you catch? We got a hand over here after them.
I thought some of those species weren't supposed to exist yet.
Those types of animals weren't around yet. Think about this. Did they take onto the boat modern-day giraffes, modern-day cows, modern-day animals? No, they didn't. They took the original dog kind, the original cat kind. We'll come back to that. That's an important point. Another hand, something. You guys are missing like the biggest, most obvious point for me. Hand right here. Put them up high. In the beginning, God created. What's that?
That was in the beginning.
Noah wasn't there in the beginning? They're quoting Genesis. How in the world? We didn't get Genesis until after the flood? Hang on to that. We'll come back to it. Any other point? Okay. Oh, back. My man's going to get workout tonight, brother. I'm going to tell you.
The boat was leaking.
Okay, we'll come back to it. That's a good point. You missed the really obvious one, man. Noah had a Scottish accent. Dude, I'm thinking of like Braveheart here. I mean, let me put it to you bluntly. I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that is absolutely false. Noah did not have a Scottish accent, okay? Some of this other stuff is speculation. The animals sleeping, do we know that? Is there a Bible verse that says that they slept? No. Does it make sense that they would sleep? Yes. There are many that believe that the whole hibernation that we see in animals, That was something that God initiated during this time. He brought the animals there, and he put them into a stage of, you know, sleeping, torpor, hibernation, so that they didn't have as much waste. They didn't need as many calories to survive. So it's a possibility. It makes sense. But it's not a hill that I will die on, if you know what I'm talking about. I won't die on that hill. It makes sense, but I can't be dogmatic about it. In the beginning, God created. What are you doing? They didn't have Genesis going on the boat. May I challenge you humbly? May I challenge you? Genesis 5:1 says this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. That is a signature. It's called a toledot. It happens 11 times in the scripture. Every time that it happens outside of this one, the other 10 times, every time, nobody will argue about this. They say that means a signature. The person that put their name on there wrote what preceded that signature. This is the one that people will argue about. This is the book of the generations of Adam. If this is just like the other 10, what does that mean about the first four chapters of Genesis? Who wrote them? According to that, Adam did. Now, stick with me before you throw me out of here as a heretic. Is it not possible that the guy who was there on day 6 wrote down that initial account and passed that information along? And then Moses, after the flood, takes those works and compiles them into the modern-day Pentateuch. Is that not possible? You know what? The reason I say that is a possibility is because there's a big tool that's used to get kids to doubt the Bible. Oh, you can't trust the Bible, full of mistakes and errors. You ever played telephone game? For sake of time, we won't do it tonight. But if I were to get 10 people up here and stand here, line them up, and I whisper, whisper, whisper a little message in here, and they whisper, 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 by the time you get to number 10, it's totally distorted. How can you trust the Bible? It's over thousands of years, people making mistakes. Let me challenge that. If you're going to try to use that argument to make me believe that the Bible's not trustworthy, you are using a very poor analogy. Because let's do it the way that the Bible lays it out. God said, right? Here's the genealogies from the scripture, from the Bible. Take a look at Adam. How long did Adam live? Pretty long. And he overlapped with Methuselah. Methuselah overlapped with Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, right? And not for just one whisper session, for a very long time. And guess what? Noah, Ham, Japheth, they overlapped. If you want to play telephone game, all right, you can't give me 10 people one message, little whisper session. Let's take 5 people, give this person 10 years to make sure that this person's got the message down, okay? Then give this person 10 years to make sure this person has the message down. Are you following me? This isn't a single whisper session going on here. This is time, and I'm going to tell you right now, one thing they knew how to do, and I don't care how far back you go, they knew how to transmit messages from one on down to the other. There was a system that was in place. You go to this page, 13th letter, 4th line down, and if it's not this, throw the whole thing out. The consistency of the scripture is something that has been totally verified. Very solid. But, Carl, how ridiculous. You're telling me you believe people lived 900 years? Yes, I do. And you know why? Let me give you a science reason. In our world today, there's a whole field of study to prolong the lifespan of people. Let me take you to a non-Christian. First person to live for 1,000 years is probably already alive, and in there between 20 and 30. They're going to be somebody who lives to 130. That's just one person. Let me take you to another. The first person to reach 150, I don't know what's up with that, is already alive. How about this one? Researchers believe a biological revolution enabling humans to experience everlasting youthfulness is coming. The first person who will live to be 1,000 is already alive today. I want you to think about this for a second. Harvard guy. There's no limit on the human lifespan. Think about this, please. If the word of God is true, when God created man initially, how long were we supposed to have lived? Forever. But we didn't. Why? Sin. The wages of sin is death, physical as well as spiritual. After the flood, God says your days are now numbered. Prior to that, the capability to live long ages was there. If that's true, what should you find inside the human body? The capability to live long ages. Guess what's there? The capability to live long ages. They're trying to turn on a switch that God turned off. They can't turn it on because he turned it off. But the fact that it's there supports what the scripture says. Now think about the flip side. Oh, Christians, you're a bunch of fools. Okay, let's go over here. Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains and butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and I. All right? And then this worm grew legs, crawled out of the land to become an amphibian, to turn into a rat, to turn into an ape, to turn into us. If that process were accurate, and by the way, let's take it a step further. Ape-like creature evolves into the black man in Africa, and then some of those black folks in Africa ate fish, spurring brain development, so they got smart and moved north and turned white. That's how we got the different quote-unquote races. Some of you are chuckling. That's exactly what evolution teaches, and we wonder why we have the problems in our nation with the racism issue. Evolution is a racist philosophy. Christianity is the only answer to it, and we, the church, unfortunately, haven't been willing to stand on the word of God and say, hey, look, we all go back to one man and one woman. I don't care what you look like on the outside. That's what evolution teaches. Guys, should you, if that history is true, should you find the capability to live 1,000 years inside of something that has evolved, mutated? Do you know, parents, your children have 100 more significant genetic mutations than you do. Every generation has 100, whoops, just threw my lid off there, 100 more significant genetic mutations than the one before. Think about that for a second. All these issues that we're seeing with all the, you know, the autism and all those types of things, where's that coming from? We are genetically breaking down. Don't trust me. This is a Cornell University geneticist has told me this. He's legit, man. And he's like, Carl, people that tell me that that process of mutation, turned a worm into us, that's the same as saying, if you take a 1968 Volkswagen Beetle, put it in your driveway, and hit it 100 times every day with a ball-peen hammer, in 100 years, you're going to have a Porsche. What are you going to have in 100 years? A mess. And that's where we're headed. He said, humans are, we are breaking down so rapidly that we can't be here for more than just a few more thousand years, because we are genetically breaking down. Should you find the capability to live 1,000 years in that process? Absolutely not. What you see in the world is consistent with what you read in the Word. The leaky boat. We'll come back to it. Nobody mentioned this. The age. How old were they when on the boat? We'll come back to it. How about this? The animals that was brought up. Why is this an important issue? One of the big attacks. How in the world could you fit 2 of every, 7 of some, 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat? How ridiculous, you Christians. Go watch Michael Shermer. He'll lay it out on you. When we put these pictures out, we fall prey to that trap. Does the Bible teach that they took zebras on, horses on, donkeys on? No. They took the original horse kind. From that, from those two horses, you got the variation. That's evolution. No, that's speciation. We believe in that. What we don't believe is that a worm can grow legs, crawl out on the land to become an amphibian, to turn into a rat, to turn into a wolf, to go back into the ocean to become a blue whale. Or that rat could get mutations and grow a long nose and become an elephant. Okay, that's what we, that's not the same process, even though they use the same word on it. When we show modern-day animals going on the boat, we fall prey to that attack. But when we say, look, how many animals actually had to go on the boat? How many of you in here have a smartphone tonight? Smartphone. Anybody? Anybody? I saw like 10 hands go up. I know you're lying to me. After this morning, I know you don't want to admit it, but go ahead and admit it. How many smartphones are here tonight? Thank you. Pull it out. It's not Sunday morning. It's okay. Pull it out. Go to your app store. Type in reasons, plural, for, F-O-R, hope. Download the app. It's free of charge. I'm not selling you a thing, man. It's free of charge. Now, while you're there, if you sign up to get on our mailing list, it's an option. You don't have to, but if you do, that's going to give you a choice to pick between like 3 PDF books, one dealing with Noah's Ark, more information, one dealing with Lucy, one of our supposed evolutionary ancestors, and the other is the God of the Old Testament a moral monster? We've heard that. Oh, God of the Old Testament, different from the God of the New Testament. We deal with it. Choose any one of them, but you're going to get all three of them. I'm sending you all three. You just got to choose one, okay? You're also going to get a digital download of one of the debunked videos. I'm not going to show it tonight because of time, but how did they fit all the animals on the boat? I'm going to send you a 5-minute animated video that answers exactly how they fit all those animals on the boat. It's a gift. By the way, on the app itself, when you get it, you'll see more on the bottom right-hand side of the menu. Go to there, look for the next page, debunked. All 7 of the debunks that we have right now are on there free of charge. I'm giving them to you because I want you to use them. They're on there. Then go to our website, R-F-O-R-H, R-4-H, stands for Reasons for Hope, r4h.com. Go to the store, type in debunked, unleashed. There's 6 studies for those debunks that are on there. There's a study that corresponds with 6 of them, and it's free. It's a PDF. Download it. Use it. It's a home study, parent. You can do a study with your children. How'd they fit all the animals on the boat? There's an answer. But I can't do it all. I got to let you do it. But it's a free app. Seriously. Reasons for Hope, and just look for the asterisks. Okay? Keep going.
The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Okay, what'd you catch? Anybody? Anybody? Over here?
The light was the sun when the sun was actually created on a different day.
Okay. Let there be light. And it showed like the sun and the stars in there. When did they come? Were they on day one? No, not that. Okay.
The earth wasn't supposed to be there yet.
The earth, what was that?
The earth wasn't supposed to be there yet.
The earth wasn't supposed to be there, but it was there on day when? Okay, one more, and then there's another hand back here.
I also saw some clouds.
Clouds? You saw clouds? Was there clouds there in the beginning?
Clouds. That was my answer.
The clouds comment was the thing that you were saying? Interesting. Anybody else? One more? One more, just for to keep it going? Well, let's jump into this. Okay. Look very closely. You see the clouds? Where are there clouds? And look in the background. Do you see those dots of lights in the background? What are those? Stars. Were stars there on day one? No. The description here. Genesis 1:16 and 19. God made 2 great lights, a greater light to rule the day, the less light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Evening, morning were the 4th day. So if those are stars, which I can't tell, that's not accurate. And also, some people have said, well, the sun is there as well. I've looked very closely at this. I really have. I've looked super closely at this, and I can't tell if that's the sun or not. It's a light source, okay? It's a light source, but what did God say? Let there be? So there had to be a light source. Now, that will lead to the question, okay, so if that isn't the sun, what was the light source? And I've done a lot of research on this, and I've actually figured it out. I don't know. I told you I can answer every question in 3 languages. I don't know what the light source was. But it was a light source, because God said evening, morning, first day, rotation of the earth, and so the earth was there. You had a rotation of the earth, and you had a light source so that you had evening and morning. What was that light source? Hey, maybe it was Jesus. I hear people say that all the time. Makes sense. Jesus is the light. By the way, I know it's not the sun because God told me it's not the sun. And I know that I don't need the sun. Think about this. When we look across the globe, there's something that almost people in almost all cultures worship. The sun. Sun God. I think God was giving us a very clear message right here at the very beginning. You're going to worship the creation. Don't worship the creation. I didn't need the sun till day 4. Read Revelation, new heavens and new earth, no sun, but there's light. Does he need a sun to produce light? No, he just needs a light source. What that is, couldn't tell you. But I think he was just saying, look, you guys are worshiping the creation. Don't worship the creation, worship the one that created it. The clouds, interesting. I would have to be honest and tell you that the guy who has probably had the biggest impact on me when it comes to the book of Genesis is a guy named Henry Morris. And he wrote a book called The Genesis Record. And if you ever want to do an in-depth verse-by-verse study on Genesis Record from a young earth perspective, Henry Morris did that. And he says that it would make sense that you have this type of thing, these clouds, that they're not formed, it's without form and void. He said the way that that wording is in there is when you guys started your building project, they brought the materials out. You had raw materials out here, and they were there, and then people came in and used their intelligence to build that structure. Well, that's what we hear in the beginning. We had these materials that were there that had not been arranged into their final state, such as day four when the sun came about. So maybe there were clouds of, he uses big words, ions and protons, I don't get it, but it's something like that. So I'm not going to fight over the cloud thing, but it's a possibility according to Dr. Henry Morse, which I respect.
On the second day, God separated the waters to form the seas and the sky.
Okay. What'd y'all catch? Any hands? Nobody wants to play anymore? You want me to just run? Here we go. Got a hand right here. Thank you, ma'am.
Lightning and leaking and
lightning tearing. And leaking. The whole leaking, but yeah. They're scared.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? We'll come to it. I just like to get it going, and then we try and run back into it. And if I skip something by accident, call me back on it. We'll deal with it. Well, let's deal with it. Let's deal with the leaking thing. We'll just jump into the leaking because that came up at the very beginning. To be very honest with you, to me, this is probably one of the most, what do I say? I'm going to use really poor grammar. This is one of the most bad things going on, all right? This is one of the worst teachings to me going on, all right? Because here's the way that my head works. When I read Scripture, it makes it very clear that Jesus is also an ark. All right? You had the ark that saved people from going through judgment of water, but Jesus is an ark that's going to keep us from going through judgment by fire. All right? Who gave Noah the plans to build the boat? I almost said who gave Adam and Eve the plans, and you guys would have yelled at me. All right? Who gave Noah the plans to build the boat? God. Do you think God gave them such a poor plan that it would be leaking, and he's got to jump into action with a little wooden mallet and save the day? What are we saying about God when I show a boat like this, that he gave us such a poor plan that I need this little wooden mallet to save the day? Oh, no. He would have given them a plan that would have definitely been able to handle this stuff. And I think by showing the boat leaky, we are absolutely undermining God, because he is a picture of that same ark, that same way of salvation, all right? So to me, I don't want to run by that one too. The age thing came up again, a biggie. Now, how old were they when they went on the boat? It's an interesting study if you want to do it, and I did, and I've got these little charts, and you're going to end up anywhere from between 30 to about 60, okay? If you follow the genealogies in the Scripture. That's not a 30-year-old. But let me share with you the challenge that somebody gave to me in an audience just like this. Hand went up. Yes, ma'am. What would a 30-year-old look like that had the capability to live 900 years? Huh? Right? You see, we look at people today and we can kind of have an idea how old they are because this is the culture we live in, and we can kind of see, okay, he's got the gray, so this is going on. You see a couple wrinkles here. You see they got a couple sags, okay? And so you know roughly about where this individual is, okay? But somebody who had the capability to live 900 years, what would they look like in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, in their hundreds? But here was my response back, because I don't like being proven wrong on anything. King of defensive. You're looking at him. If they were trying to show that, then why'd they make Noah look so old? But it is an interesting thing. I think it's an interesting concept that we would not look the same if we had the capability to live to be 900 years. Your body is constantly regenerating itself. The oldest piece on your body is like 28 days old, other than your teeth, okay? They're not regenerating themselves. But Your body is constantly regenerating itself. The question is, why do we die so young? We're only 28 days old when we die. Because the telomeres quit reproducing at a certain point, start breaking down, gray hair comes, all the other things come with it. If they can turn that on, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. But I say they can't because God turned it off. All right, how about this one?
On the third day, God created the land with trees and plants and fruits.
Will we ever see land again?
Of course. Of course we will. The next day, he put the sun, the moon, and stars in the heavens. And on the fifth day, all the creatures of the sea and of the air. And on the sixth day, all the creatures of the ground.
We already talked about modern day animals, so that's not gonna, don't worry about that one. Let me give one positive. If you got any comments, hands go up and he'll make his way to you, but let me give you a positive while he's making his way to you. They actually depict the days in Genesis as real days. Do you know how many Christians are willing to compromise on that point? Oh, the days of Genesis could have been a long period of time, could have been this, could have been that, you know? And I'm saying it can only be what God said that it was. And God with his finger wrote in stone that he created the 6 days and rested one, okay? So they couldn't be anything other than what he said that they were because God can't lie. They actually showed the days in Genesis as real days. That's a positive. I don't see that very often in Christendom. Any other comments? Any other catches? All right. I'm just going to run with some stuff then. They showed day five. They showed five, dive. Remember anything that dives, birds, fish. That's what's created on that day. I remember little rhymes and things like that. One, bun, hamburger. You got a hamburger. The hamburger bun is light. The hamburger is dark. God separated the light from the dark. Two, blue, water, sky. Okay, you're not weird like me. That's how I remember things. It's just the way my mind works, okay? You're laughing at me. I'm wired that way, okay? Day three, how about this one? You think there was erosion and all of that stuff going on in the Garden of Eden? And how about this? We're in the Garden of Eden on day one, and the elephants are in a desert, and the trees are dead in the background, and the camels are in the snow and the ice. You can see their breath. Was that the way the world was on day one, two, three, four, five? No. But now let's come back, because I know some of you think, he skipped this. No, I didn't. I was waiting. They were afraid. They're afraid. They're on a boat. Come on, man. God gave you the plan. He told you to take the people, and you're going to be afraid on the boat? May I humbly push back? I don't know about you. Do I know that God is in control? Look, I started this ministry 7.5 years ago, walked away from big ministry. I was booked 1.5 years out. My calendar was booked 1.5 years out with good stuff. January 8, 2011, I walked home in the afternoon, and I had 2 speaking events left because when I quit, all the speaking events stayed with the ministry that I was with. I looked my wife in the eye, and I'm the provider. I'm the guy that's supposed to take care, right? And I look at my wife, and I say, I hope I heard the Lord right, because I got 2 speaking events, and we didn't have a savings account. We didn't have people funding us. We didn't have any of that. It was just like, God told me to go, and I had to go. Do I know that God is in control? I'm here 7.5 years later. We've created that video that I just showed you, that WMI. We spent $35,000 to produce that thing. That's not cheesy. It's done well. Debunked. We've spent massive dollars on debunked. Do you know how much each one of those debunked costs? And we're at the stage now where we're trying to produce one a month? One a month? And I'm this guy that's on the road 196 days a year. I got 22 people that support me on a monthly basis in 3 churches. It's unbelievable that I'm still here. Do I know that God's in control? Yeah. Do you think there aren't days when I'm like, okay, God, I don't get it. I'm lost. I lost batteries this time. You better believe I do. I'm scared to death sometimes. But I know God's in control. You're going to tell me that they're not going to be in this and not have some sort of concern about what's going on? Guys, I don't know. I'm a little bit more forgiving just because of me. I know how weak I am. And then I look at something like this. I look at Luke, and it says this, in the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What I see Noah doing there is exactly what I try to do when crazy comes and I start losing focus. Go back, remember, this is what God has done, this is what God has done, this is what God has done. If he can carry me through this, he can carry me through this. And I give that to you as a pattern because I'm telling you, crazy will come in your life. And when it comes, remember what he's done. This is what Jesus did to the guys on the road to Emmaus who had been followers who walked away. They didn't get it. They didn't understand who God was. They missed it so much that they're walking away the day that he said that he was going to come back. And Jesus has to go to them and say, what are y'all talking about? And they're like, what? Are you new or something? This is the CKV, Carl Kirby version. Not KJV, okay? CKV. What, are you new or something? Are you the only guy that's not been around Jerusalem? You don't understand what's going on? He was the guy. He's not the guy. He's dead. We don't get it. And then what did Jesus do? He took him back to the beginning. You want to understand why it's crazy today? You better understand how it got that way. You lose that history in Genesis, you lose a whole foundation to deal with crazy.
And then he made us to live in paradise until Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. And with one choice, they learned both good and evil.
My brother, you can sit down. I'll just run from here to finish this up. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that for us. Okay, here's some things that most folks catch. You're looking at one of them. Anybody remember the big hoopla about this show? Oh, the news reports. Big thing. They are so racist. They made the devil look like... It looked like anybody to you? They made the devil look like President Obama. Those racists. Guys, I got to be honest with you. I didn't see it. I honestly didn't see it until I do this and like, okay. I can kind of see it now. But I didn't see it initially. It wasn't like, oh, look at that. When you got rabbit ears, dude, you can hear and see almost anything. All right? What I saw when I first saw this, I'm going to date myself here. I thought they were trying to make Satan look like the dude from Star Wars, man. You know, the old crinkly dude with the cut robe and everything? I don't know his name, but that's who I thought they were trying to make the devil look like, was the old crinkly dude. Oh, they're racist. The people that made this TV series supported President Obama. They donated to his election. They weren't trying to make fun of him. It was a more fake news blow-up baloney. We're in paradise, and Adam is crusty. I'm sorry. I am telling you right now, no, Adam did not look like that. I'm a clean freak, dude, and we're not going for crusty Adam. Can't happen. I don't care if it's true or not. He didn't look like that. He took dust form to breathe into life, and man became a living being. He wasn't crusty. He was clean. I'm sorry. I can't handle it. Paradise. And you got insects eating the leaves? Hello? No. No bugs in the garden, man, doing this kind of stuff. That didn't come till after sin. Oh, but here's a biggie. What's the problem with this one? The snake didn't have legs. And then I will challenge people. Can you go to the Bible, please, and give me the scripture verse telling us that the snake had legs? Don't do it because you can't find it. What you will find is, as a consequence of the curse, the snake was cursed to crawl on his belly and to eat dirt, which a snake does every time it flicks its tongue out, is picking up dirt particles. It's eating dirt, literally. Okay? So that would imply that it was upright if it is cursed to crawl on its belly. But does that mean that it had legs? Implications, yes. Am I going to die on the sword? No. See, so many times we try to put in the scripture what really wasn't there. I think it's the most consistent interpretation that the snake did have legs. That's my interpretation, I think. But I'm not going to die on that sword. The fruit, I thought this was good. Many, many times we read, or see, I should say, we see images of the Garden of Eden and they're eating the fruit and the fruit is an apple. I can prove to you that the fruit was not an apple because in Genesis, God gave man the freedom to eat of every tree the fruit bearing seed. Do apples have seeds? They're okay. It was not an apple. I thought this was a positive thing. Look, other than they're dirty again, clean them up and we have a more accurate depiction, but they don't show Adam and Eve as blonde hair, blue-eyed. I grew up with blonde hair, blue-eyed Adam and Eve. But guess what? Blonde hair, blue-eyed Eve have blonde hair, blue-eyed children. You're not going to get the diversity that we see in this room or on this state, especially if you start with one man and one woman who are blonde hair, blue-eyed. But if you start with one man and one woman who are middle brown, which is the vast majority of people on this planet, guess what? In one generation, you can get a broad spectrum from just one couple. And I'll show you a couple pictures. I've got more. I should bring them in here. But here's a couple, middle brown, that had twins, one light, one dark. Here's a couple. She's Jamaican. He's Brit. And their daughters right here, one light, one dark. Now take a look at them as they're in their 20s now. They're twins. If you start with middle brown couple, you can get everything. Now, there are two other options. There are two other options, okay? Adam and Eve couldn't both be black, and they couldn't both be white. Adam could be black, and Eve could be white. Oh, we don't like that. We're not going there. Okay, then Adam was white, and Eve was black. Oh, that's a little bit more acceptable, but we still don't like it. Those are your three options, middle brown or mix. Those are your three options if you're going to get everything that we see today.
Since then, since Cain killed Abel, God has seen too much evil in human hearts. Wrong choices, wrong decisions. That's why this is happening. Our Creator decided to cleanse the earth.
Very dramatic. I mean, I have to give it that. It's very dramatic. The waves, I think somebody brought up the boats and all that. The kind of waves that would have had to have been generated to toss a 450-foot long wooden boat that much, don't know about that. But anyway, wrong choices, wrong decisions, that's why this has happened. Is that why God judged sin? Because of wrong choices, wrong decisions? Let me ask you then here tonight, sitting here tonight, I want you to answer this. How many of you today have made a wrong choice or wrong decision today? If your hand doesn't go up, you're lying. Every one of us have made a wrong choice or wrong decision at some point during this day. God did not kill the people that didn't go into the ark because they made a wrong choice, wrong decision. He killed them for a very specific reason. Every thought was continually evil, wicked. That's how far we had fallen. This wasn't some capricious God that just said, oh, I'm tired of them, let me wipe them out. Every thought was evil continually, and not just actions, thought. You see, God says that when he comes again, the second time it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. So it's going to be ugly. Do we see images of ugly today? Yeah, but you know what? There's still a lot of good. There's still a lot of good. So when people tell me, oh, it's coming soon, it's possible. There's no doubt about it. But I got to tell you, there's still a big difference between the way it was in the days of Noah as it is today. Matter of fact, you guys, anybody see that Russell Crowe Noah? Anybody see that one? Anybody? Yeah, I did too, and I'll tell you this. The only thing biblically accurate about it is that they had a guy named Noah. He had some folks that went on a boat, and there was water, and that's about it, okay? Everything else was off, except for one thing, the way they depicted the pre-flood world. Wicked. That was the only good thing that I saw out of that whole movie. It's like, man, that, and that's where we're headed, unfortunately.
God warned me. He told me to build a boat. A boat to save our family and all the animals. every other living creature would die.
Again, pretty dramatic, but is it accurate? God said to build a boat to save our family and all the animals. Is that what God said? No, it was very specific animals that were saved. What were they? Land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. Because if he killed off all the animals, then he'd have killed off all the fish, he'd have killed off all the sea creatures, and we wouldn't have anything. He didn't say that. He killed off land-dwelling, air-breathing animals that weren't on the boat. Those were the animals specifically that he killed off. I know that's nitpicking, but you know what? Words have meaning, and it's important that we're accurate. Every other living creature would die? That's not true. That's not what God said. It was only the land-dwelling, air-breathing animals that were going to die.
And on the seventh day, God rested.
This is usually when hands get back involved in this whole process. There's like this moment where people quit getting involved, and then at the end when they see this, they usually get involved, right? Seriously? Remember the picture I showed you this morning from when I was in Calvary, Honolulu, and had the double rainbow? Really? Noah went out on the boat, and when does the scripture say that that came into be? Not until the waters were gone. How about this? You need young eyes to catch this. I had a young person catch this. See it? Take a look at Mrs. Noah. Take a look at her nose. She's got a breathe right strip on there. Here, I'll blow it up. Now, is that a breathe right strip? No, of course not. It's not a breathe right strip. But I had a young person say that. She's got a breathe right strip on her nose. And you can see it right there, right? I have looked at this as hard as I could, magnified down. I think what it actually is like you see those beams of light coming in another place. I think a beam of light just hit there. But if it was a breathe right strip, somebody's got a lawsuit, man. I mean, it's not a breathe right strip. I know that, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Here's another good thing. They showed the size of the boat. That's accurate. Very seldom do I see an accurate depiction of the size of the boat. If any of you get an opportunity, I'm not with the ministry anymore, but if you get an opportunity to go to Kentucky, to go to the Ark, it's worth it. I'll tell you that right now. It's amazing to walk in and see the immensity of this thing. And by the way, they didn't have to live with the animals and deal with all that stink. This was a big structure, man. That's why I love going to the Ark and seeing how it could actually have been laid out and how they could feed, how they could care for all these animals with just a few people. But they did show the boat being big. That's a good thing. And they did show it as a global flood. They showed the water covering the earth. That's a good thing. That's accurate. But the double rainbow, bad news. Bad news.
After the flood waters engulfed the world, there is a new beginning for Noah's descendants and a chance to restore the relationship between God and humanity. This is the Bible.
That's the first 5 minutes. And if we were to take and really dig into it, we could go an hour and a half easy. Now you know why my kids got frustrated with me. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Oh, we got to talk about that. But hey, you know what? I think we need to do that. We need to teach a generation to think critically. Because again, global flood, that's a great thing. That's what the scripture teaches. So that's absolutely accurate. But this one right here, and a chance to restore the relationship between God and humanity. This is the Bible. Has there ever been a time on this planet where we could not have a relationship with God? I don't think so. That opportunity has always been there. So the question comes back then, is the Bible biblical? Well, I got to go to the dictionary and look up the term. 1828 dictionary, pertaining to the Bible or to the sacred or to the sacred writings as biblical criticism. So is the Bible biblical with that definition? Well, it does pertain to the Bible, so it does fit that one. So it's possible that it could be there. How about this one right here? Merriam-Webster, modern day. Relating to or being in accord with the Bible. Ooh. Now it falls short. Some places yes, many places no. But if you don't teach a generation to think, they'll never know where it's accurate and where it's not. So be careful. Don't let a TV show, don't let a movie, don't let anything other than the Word of God be the foundation from which you build your thinking. Because quite frankly, anytime you see a movie or a TV show on a biblical thing, it's wrong. We cannot accurately, completely depict what the Scripture says. We can't do it. We don't know what Jesus looked like. We just don't know. A lot of speculation. Now, that's not a bad thing. Speculation is okay. But don't build things that you'll fight with people and separate with people over on speculation. Give you an idea? Maybe, hopefully, parents, something you can do with your children, your grandchildren. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class. Why not take something that's in the culture, take it and break it down. Teach them how to critically evaluate it. You can do it. They're seeing these things anyway, so why not teach them how to deal with them? Thank you for letting me come back. I'll close this in prayer, and I'll turn it over to, Pastor Bob. So give him a chance to get back up here. Father, thank you. Lord, I just give it to you, and I ask that you would use us. We want to be obedient. So many of us have a heart to be obedient, to do something for you, but we don't know where to start. And so, God, maybe this is the place that we start. Maybe we start with what it is that we're consuming visually. We start critically evaluating it. We teach whoever it is that we have the opportunity to be with to teach to critically evaluate. We teach them to use the Word of God as an authority and not a TV show or a movie. But Lord, use us. We just give ourselves to you today because at the end of the day, what we want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. And so, Lord, here we are. Use us, send us. We'll give you the glory, the honor, because you deserve it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.